Welcome to the homily studio for Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost. And let's begin with the collect prayer of this Sunday. Let us pray, God our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and the spirit of sanctification, made known to the human race your wondrous mystery. Grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity, powerful in majesty, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Tanakwe, I'm Father Merv Duffy, Dean at Te Kupinga Catholic Theological College in Auckland. Hosting today's session as Father John O'Connor is in the Philippines. And I'll ask my co-presenters to introduce themselves.
Kia ora, ko Catherine Gibbs, toku ingoa. My background is in teaching and learning. I've taught at every level, early childhood, primary, secondary, tertiary, and adult education. I live in Lower Hutt after, I grew up there and was educated, then I took off and I returned after 52 years back home.
Nga mihi mahana. My name is Jane Maisie. I have a multifarious background. I'll just say I'm an artist, graphic designer, and now a counselling student. We'll leave it at that for now.
Kia ora, since Father John is in the Philippines, so I thought I'll greet everyone in Filipino. Magandang araw. Ako po si Jelvin Cortez. That just means good day. I'm Jelvin Cortez, and I work for Te Kupinga Catholic Leadership Institute. I'm also a theology student, and I am here based in Auckland. Maraming salamat.
Thank you, team. And we're reflecting on readings from Proverbs, Psalm 8 in response, then the letter to the Romans, then the Gospel of John. When I say then, you don't have to reflect on them in that order. In fact, what I'll ask you is give me a word or phrase that struck you from the liturgy that you looked at. So I want a really short thing from each of you. Jane.
I knew you were going to pick on me. okay. Let's start with wonderful because, yeah. Do you want me to elaborate? Or
No. It's just okay. You have begun with wonderful. Catherine.
Mystery.
You're really taking this short to heart, aren't you? Jelvin.
Oh, there's a lot of words, but I'd like to say, I'd say wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay. Wonderful mystery wisdom. Okay, now start expanding on what your idea is. Wonderful Jane.
Thank you, wonderful Merv. There's a lot of, I think, the first reading in the psalm, there's awe and wonderment, and literally the word wonderful used several times. And through that, it struck me because the wonder and the awe of God is more than we can ever imagine, no matter where we find ourselves. And to behold in that, to stand in that, it's standing in a place of hope, and that is good.
Catherine, the mysterious Catherine.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up with Irish nuns and we were always taught about the Trinity as being a mystery, but it's three persons and one God. There is only one God. But the message through all these readings is more of rather than the three, is the unity of the Trinity. And that is a mystery. But Mysteries are good, and there's always things we can learn. Mysteries don't really have an end. They're not exhaustive. Just as trying to understand who is God or what is God is a mystery. And there's a beautiful quote from Benedict that is enough for me, really. He says that while the Trinity is a mystery, it signals the absoluteness of relationships. The absoluteness of relationships. And maybe I can go on about that a bit more later.
Thank you. We are going to hear from the wisdom of Jolene.
Well, they always say wisdom comes with age. But I was reflecting on the first reading, and I could almost hear the wisdom personified in the New Testament, who is Jesus, talking and saying the words in the first reading. And I thought it's beautiful because throughout the scripture you could see the presence of God's wisdom. And from the creation to to Genesis to the book of Revelation, the wisdom of God is there, Jesus is there, and so is the Spirit.
That's actually extremely beautiful. And you are doing what Christians have done from the word go. We've read the Old Testament with a Christian lens. We're looking for the Son of God at work in the Old Testament. And so that's why the figure of wisdom appealed so much to Christians reading the Hebrew scriptures. Your mystery, I will admit to teaching a course about the Trinity, and many of my students want to say it's a mystery and stop, as if mystery was the answer to every question. But the way you spoke of it, Catherine, that mystery invites us in, invites us to go further. Do you want to pick up on that and run further with your mystery? Of
Oh,
the
sure. Yeah, because it links perfectly with the line in the gospel where Jesus says, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now, and the Spirit of truth will guide us. And I think that this is, it's our faith story. It's an evolving one, that revelation is dynamic, that we can still be amazed, we can still be empowered. We are empowered by the Spirit. Today, we're part of this ongoing renewal. And it's about deepening our faith all the time. It's how it's through our encounters, that we're aware of God's presence in our encounters, and there's so much to hear when we listen. And the synodal listening process that we've been introduced to in the recent years has been one where we're invited to be really spend time and listen for the Spirit, listen to the Divine Spirit, the interpreter, the animator, encouraging us to seek deeper meaning in what Jesus shared of himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I think that the more we take the time to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us in all of our encounters is something that is a very precious gift of our faith. As Paul said, where's that lovely phrase in the second reading about grace? The access by faith to this grace in which we stand. This grace in which we stand. The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And I see this grace in relation to the totality of the church, the people of God, we're pilgrims of hope. We saw it in the conclave and the choice of Leo the 14th, quite unexpected. And I believe this was the result of the work of the cardinals through 3 years of synodal listening. That come to a better relationship among themselves and learned to listen, took the time to listen carefully. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a mystery.
And a spirit of truth, and Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Because we seem to have lots of misinformation in our day, and where there's all sorts of alternative facts being thrown around, whereas your synodal listening would have us listening closely and trying to discern in the spirit what is true. Oh, counselor, would you do a lot of listening in your learning?
A lot of listening. Yes, Catherine, as you were speaking, Catherine, I thought, oh my goodness, yes, that's beautiful. And you're so on point. The power of listening, of standing with. And there is a grace that breaks through whenever grace is ready to break through and pours out into our hearts when we truly listen. But we have to stand in the mystery in order to truly listen. And that's where the awe and the wonderment sort of link, I think, link through from the first readings right the way through sort of to the gospel. That there's a hope that comes with listening too, that we're storied people. So the more we can listen, the more we can kind of be present in an incarnational way.
Oh, there's a phrase to unpack there. We're storied people. I'm several stories myself, but
We all are. Absolutely. I think that I'd circled a word, with, when we have peace with God, that stories are, we're never isolated, and the listening, that's really key in that Trinitarian approach. Right, and that it's the fullness of all is where we find the fullness of life. But it's not easy, I think, too. It's important. Reading this, I found myself also thinking about Lamentations. And as much as we stand in the wonder and the awe and the joy, we stand with in the lamenting too. And there's the hope that also comes through that. So it's the fullness of the whole human experience in all of the stories. Does that make sense? It does. Yeah. In my mind, it makes sense.
I won't respond to that. I'll give Jelvina a chance to speak.
Yeah, I'm just taking all it. I'm just taking them all in because it's very mysterious, isn't it? And I was just thinking when when I talk to the people who are entering or joining our church in the RCIA program, and I'm given this task of unpacking the Holy Trinity. And I just don't know how and where to start without the Holy Spirit. And it's beautiful that it's also unfathomable, but we know that we can see the Trinity in the whole of the scripture. But I'd still like to go to the book of Proverbs in the creation, and I see the plan of God, the beautiful plan of God for us, and how Jesus delights in human race, in the last verse, it said, I found delight in human race. It also says, he played on the surface of his earth. So there's a lot of joy and rejoicing in humanity when God created us. And I see this as a beautiful manifestation of God's love for us and the reason why he sent his son, to reveal that plan of God for us, and in the end, promising us the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to continue with our joy, and give us that hope for the coming of for the coming of the kingdom. And I'd see this as a very beautiful picture of God's love for us, the fulfillment of that love, and that continuous guidance of the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to us, that love of God.
The whole picture, can I just pick up on that, Jolveen, in that famous icon of the Trinity by Rublev that some of our listeners may be familiar with? And it's a very beautiful artwork done in 1410, but it depicts three, but it de also depicts the unity of the three. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit in a balanced relationship. It shows them united around one table, but each of the figures has a different face. They're clothed in different colors. They are connected to symbols of Father, Son, and Spirit. But they're all seated united around one single table, and there's a space, a fourth space, where there's a space for us at the table. And it simply encapsulates that notion of mutuality. And we read every now and then I read about the mutual indwelling of God in us, the mutual indwelling. And it's that mutual relationship of there's difference, but it's united. There's diversity, but it's communal as well. There's autonomy there. There's Father, Son, and Spirit, but they're not the same. And I'll just, there was a quote that I'm into Pope Leo. You'll hear about this from me. Pope Leo has made a beautiful statement recently, and he said, spiritual unity is diversity, and to be loved and united is never mere uniformity. Something to think about.
He's a pope with a motto, to be one in the one, or I think unity is going to be a big message of his pontificate.
It seems so, yes.
And it seems very, very appropriate with the state of the world.
Yeah, we've got division.
Yes, there's a real I'm right, you're wrong. That's a kind of a real exclusion that's happening. And yet, with a kind of, Trinitarian incarnational approach, it seems like it's calling us to be agents of that hope, of that inclusion, of the curiosity, of the mystery of the other. What we might consider other really isn't other. We're all one to be with and.
So the Trinity is inviting us into relationship. Jelveen wants delight and joy and hope in this relationship. Jane wants wonder and awe that we should I don't know, shudder before the might of God, but also awe that this is a Trinity who's inviting us to the table, according to Catherine, and inviting us to relate to each of the three persons, so that so as you said, it's about relationship, but it's not about uniformity. So the three persons of the Trinity are not uniform. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit. Yet each of them wants to get involved with us, which is amazing.
Because this is the nature of love, isn't it? You know, the Father is love, the Son is love, the Spirit is love, God is love. And
And
I see a dance, and it's like
woo.
the Spirit is dancing between the love of God and the love of the beloved Son. And it's echoed in that gorgeous wisdom piece from Proverbs, "I found delight in the human race." It's a dance.
Okay. Bring this dance into a close. Give us a final thing to take away. If you were coming away from Trinity Sunday, what thought would you want in your heart or in your mind?
Rejoice and be glad, for there
Very
is help. And I'll take from the second reading, because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through faith and grace that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. So it's a whole package of the work of the Trinity.
to bring it right into the home and to each of us, it's the sign of the cross. And I think if we take anything this week, perhaps we could make a more conscious and deliberate action, dance if you like, when we cross ourselves with the sign of the cross. Ki te inoa o te mātua, o te tamaiti, o te wairua tapu, in the name of the
Amen.
and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Conscious and deliberate.
This is a tough one to summarize, but I'll say perhaps it's a challenge to listen, because to truly listen is to be changed in the listening, and to listen in relationship, to stand with, not for. And
And not over.
yes, to position equally, to dance between. Yeah, and that's hope and grace, are found there. That's where they live. And may we stand in awe and wonder of our God that is good.
Thank you to the three of you. Pope Leo prayed the Regina Caeli with the crowd in St. Peter's Piazza last Sunday. So let's join with him. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. The Son whom you merited to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia. For the Lord has truly risen, alleluia. O God, who through the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, did vouchsafe to give joy to the world, grant, we beseech you, that through his mother, the Virgin Mary, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. And we finish in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.